right? There hasn't been an attack in the middle of a war on a civilian nuclear facility.
Russian attacks against Ukraine continue. It's Monday, March 7th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Join us online. You'll find us at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, people rush to escape Ukraine. U.S. lawmakers react. Australia begins divesting from Russia. Calls for Sri Lanka reform. Conflict extends beyond Earth. It's all on today's VOA Asia. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken met with NATO foreign ministers in Brussels just hours after Russia's shelling of Europe's largest nuclear power plant in Ukraine. VOA senior diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain reports.
The world watched early Friday as closed-circuit cameras captured Russia shelling Europe's largest nuclear power plant. Russian military forces have seized control of the plant. When asked if the shelling constitutes a war crime, the White House says it is still evaluating what happened.
I mean, obviously, the Russian government's actions were extremely reckless and dangerous. They could have posed a profound threat to the safety of civilians in the region and beyond. We do applaud the ability of the Ukrainian operators to keep all six reactors in safe conditions while under attack and to report as they were able to the nuclear regulator.
Russian President Vladimir Putin's willingness to shell a nuclear power plant is extremely reckless and worrisome, a nuclear expert told VOA, even though there is no radiation emergency now.
This is unprecedented, right? There hasn't been an attack in the middle of a war on a civilian nuclear facility like a nuclear reactor. So we will learn a lot going forward. But right now, we have to be extremely vigilant.
Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky says Putin has crossed a new threshold.
We survived a night that could have stopped the story, the history of Ukraine, the history of Europe. Russian troops attacked the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant. Russian tanks knew what they were firing at, directly aiming at the station. This is terror of an unprecedented level.
Zelensky has repeatedly called on NATO to establish a no-fly zone over Ukraine, or else supply Ukraine with the military equipment it needs to defend itself. But NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg rejected those appeals after meeting with EU and NATO foreign ministers in Brussels Friday.
Allies agree that we should not have NATO planes operating over Ukrainian airspace or NATO troops on Ukrainian territory.
Stoltenberg called it a painful decision, explaining that to enforce such a zone, NATO would have to shoot down Russian planes, and that could result in a full-fledged war in Europe. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken also met with NATO leaders in Brussels and faced tough questions about what the alliance could do to help Ukrainian civilians in cities across the country under Russian bombardment. Blinken said the West unity is hurting Putin, but it will take time.
President Putin said his so-called special military operation is proceeding exactly as planned. Well, it's hard to imagine that his plan included inspiring the Ukrainian people to defend their country with such tenacity, strengthening the resolve and solidarity of NATO and the EU, uniting the world in opposition to Moscow, including 141 countries at the United Nations.
Blinken said Putin can also see that his country's economy is now in free fall. Tens of thousands of Russians have turned out to protest his invasion of Ukraine, and countless others are leaving the country. If that was his plan, it is working, the Secretary of State added. Cindy Sain, VOA News, Washington.
Join us online for much more on this and all the stories you hear on today's program. You'll find us at VOA Asia Twitter, Facebook, and at our website, voanews.com. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Quad leaders say Ukraine's situation should not be allowed in Indo-Pacific. China-backed bank halts lending to Russia and Belarus. From China to Turkey from Ukraine, two men's search for safety. Hong Kong migration continues amid pandemic and politics. The United Nations says Myanmar's militias and rebel armies ramping up drug trade. Expanded coverage of all these stories and much more can be found at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and our website. That's voanews.com. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. As Russia's bombardment of Ukraine's cities intensifies, hundreds of thousands of people are fleeing the country. The United Nations has appealed to donor countries for help, as we hear from Henry Ridgewell from the Polish-Ukrainian border.
Yelena Zelenska waits alone in the bitter cold, scanning the continuous flow of refugees for her daughters and grandchildren. Yelena is Ukrainian, but was visiting Poland as Russia invaded. For several days, her family has been trying to escape Ukraine. A nearby tent offers shelter from the biting wind.
I can't sleep. I sleep 1 or 2 hours a night. I have a phone with me all the time, as we don't know what will happen.
A poor mobile phone signal and a low battery add to the agony. Alongside the Ukrainians are hundreds of foreign nationals. Pakistani national Jahangir Khan was about to become a doctor.
I'm a medical student, the sixth-year course, the last semester. So we are about to graduate in the coming 2-3 months. But unfortunately, because of this situation, we cannot continue the studies anymore.
These students are from Ecuador and fled the capital, Kiev, as the Russian attacks began.
I saw that it really became big war. It's just 1 week ago and changed our life too much. Mm-hmm. We'll miss too much Kiev. It's my second home.
Millions of lives broken apart in the space of a few days. As the crisis escalates, the UN's International Organization for Migration Friday appealed for $350 million to support its operations in Ukraine and neighboring countries.
The flow of refugees is unrelenting and appears to be increasing by the day. There are now many thousands of people gathered here at the border crossing points in Medica, and the United Nations expects that several million people will come across the border from Ukraine in the coming weeks.
After 8 hours waiting, Yelena was reunited with one of her daughters, Tatiana, and her grandson, Maxim. Their reward, a steaming bowl of Polish soup.
There were a lot of mothers with kids. Only those with children under a year old can jump the line. The rest have to wait. There are many kids who are sick with high temperatures. And the worst thing is there is no toilet. People just go out in the open. There's no food, and it's very cold.
They are safe, but it is a bittersweet reunion. Tatiana's husband, Maxim's father, was not allowed to leave. The men must stay to fight. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, Medica on the Poland-Ukraine border.
Thousands of weary residents are leaving Hong Kong every day as the city continues to battle its worst wave of the COVID-19 pandemic. But an exodus of Hong Kong residents has been taking place for a couple of years, according to data. Experts say residents are leaving because of the city's recent political unrest and ongoing restrictions due to the pandemic. According to immigration data, over 94,000 Hong Kong residents have departed the city via Hong Kong International Airport in 2022 alone. It is not clear whether the departures are permanent or temporary. Hong Kong has required lengthy quarantines for residents and professionals entering the city, making it an unattractive prospect for residents to travel overseas. Still ahead on VOA Asia, reaction from the United States and top U.S. lawmakers. Happening now in Asia, China's top political advisory body, the Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference, opened its annual session with the government facing a slowing economy and international pressure over its refusal to condemn Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. With so much turmoil around us, we hope you're doing well today. And we're glad to have you with us on VOA Asia. U.S. President Joe Biden's announcement that the United States would go after Russian oligarchs and close U.S. airspace to Russian planes in response to the invasion of Ukraine drew praise from Democratic lawmakers. But some Republicans want even tougher action. As VOA congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson reports, the U.S. Congress is scrambling to respond to the crisis in Europe.
As the Russian convoy encircles Kyiv and hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians flee the country, a new urgency in Washington, where lawmakers say increased Russian bombing of civilian areas is pushing them to action.
It's time we drop the hammer and completely shut down the economy in Russia, and that we do more to assist the Ukrainian defenses.
Before the invasion, U.S. lawmakers had struggled to reach a compromise on bipartisan sanctions, leaving the White House to take the lead on imposing financial sanctions against Russia by executive order.
I want to salute the president. He, working with our allies, are presenting a united front against Putin. If his intention was to divide NATO and the West, not just NATO, but other countries, in fact, he has instead unified them even further in terms of their commitment to sovereignty, democracy, and peace.
Some Republicans have criticized Biden for not being tough enough on the Kremlin to prevent the crisis. But there is increasing bipartisan unity to pass a sanctions package, Republican Senator Lindsey Graham said, as he called for Putin and members of his government to be condemned for war crimes.
This is maybe the most effective thing we can do, is to let the generals in the army of Russia know you follow Putin's orders at your own peril. There were 161 people prosecuted in the Balkans conflict, from privates to prime ministers, generals included. I want the world to rally around the rule of law.
There are also multiple proposals for humanitarian and military aid for Ukraine pending in both the U.S. House and Senate.
Not only weapons, not only money, but also intelligence, so that, you know, our partners are able to take advantage of any useful intelligence to defend themselves. Remember, at the end of the day, these people are fighting for their freedom. They're fighting for their democracy. And so we need to be helping them as much as we possibly can without crossing a line.
Public opinion polling shows most Americans do not want to see troops directly involved in a conflict with Russia in Ukraine, a concern echoed by lawmakers.
I do think that it would certainly exacerbate the situation to put boots on the ground. I think the no-fly zone is something that we should consider. I know there are implications to that. I think that Vladimir Putin will perceive that as a major threat and maybe even a declaration of war.
The first Ukrainian-born member of the U.S. Congress agreed.
We are not going to go in the war. You know, it's not a NATO ally, so we don't have Article 5 commitment. So this is just something unfeasible. You know, we can do some other things. We can talk about providing maybe humanitarian corridor or safe passages so people actually can get evacuated and not get killed there.
Spartz told VOA it was time Washington stopped thinking of the invasion of Ukraine as a war and saw it as a genocide. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Washington.
VOA Asia social media is where you can find much more on this story.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook and say hello online or on your smartphone. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, and read and share all of the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news and great features.
Making headlines in Asia, during an unofficial visit to Taipei at the invitation of a private research group, former U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo called for the United States to give diplomatic recognition to Taiwan, a self-ruled island China claims as its own territory. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, some Australian finance firms have begun to divest Russian assets in the wake of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. The Australian government last week urged the country's $2.5 trillion pension industry to reassess its Russian holdings after the invasion. From Sydney, Phil Mercer tells us more.
Russia's Ukraine invasion has prompted several Australian companies to cut ties with Russia by selling assets or stopping operations. Australia said Thursday it strongly expected the nation's pension funds, known as superannuation or retirement funds, to review their investment portfolios and to divest any holdings in Russian assets. Australia's $150 billion sovereign wealth fund, set up in 2006 to benefit future generations, said it planned to reduce its exposure to Russian-listed companies. Russian assets are a very small proportion of Australia's retirement funds. Nevertheless, Jane Hume, the Treasury's superannuation minister, told the Australian Broadcasting Corporation that cutting those financial ties to Russia would still be significant.
Maybe it is small as a percentage, but it's a $3.5 trillion industry. Even if you only held half of 1% of your assets in Russia, that could equate to billions of dollars, over $17 billion. That is a significant amount of capital that's invested in Russia.
Australia has also imposed sanctions on Russian oligarchs and politicians, including more than 300 members of the Russian parliament. Australia has also imposed technology penalties on Russia, including export bans on goods used in weapons production and oil and gas exploration. On Tuesday, Australia said it would spend $50 million to buy missiles and ammunition to support Ukraine. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
This news from VOA Asia. Life in South Asia begins a return to normal after a months-long coronavirus outbreak that led to lockdowns and closures, and people are hoping the worst of the COVID-19 pandemic is behind them. The welcome developments can be followed throughout the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights, Michelle Bachelet, is urging the Sri Lankan government to reform its judicial system and put an end to impunity, which encourages human rights violations to proliferate throughout the country. A report is under examination at the UN Human Rights Council. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
The UN Human Rights Chief, Michelle Bachelet, says she is pleased to see that Sri Lanka has taken certain steps to amend some provisions of the Prevention of Terrorism Act. She says that has resulted in the release of some people who have been detained under the act, but says proposed reforms do not go far enough. She says much more is needed to reform the country's legal and security systems to put an end to impunity and prevent any recurrence of past violations. The High Commissioner is referring to the period after Sri Lanka's civil war ended in the 1980s. Some 60,000 to 100,000 people from all ethnic and religious communities disappeared. The fate of thousands of those who have gone missing remains unknown to this day. Regrettably, she says, few have been held accountable for the crimes. She says victims and their families continue to be denied truth and justice.
I remain concerned by the continued suffering and anguish of victims and families of the disappeared, who call for truth and justice and seek to commemorate their loved ones. I urge the government to acknowledge their rights, urgently determine the fate or whereabouts of victims, bring perpetrators to justice, and provide reparations.
Bachelet says she is deeply concerned by continued reports of surveillance, harassment, and intimidation of civil society organizations, human rights defenders, and journalists by police and intelligence services.
Repeated incidents of death in custody and in alleged armed encounters with police are alarming. We also continue to receive allegations of ill treatment and torture by police and military. This highlights the importance of fundamental security sector reform.
Bachelet warns Sri Lanka will not achieve genuine reconciliation and sustainable peace as long as impunity prevails. Sri Lanka's foreign minister, Lakshman Peris, says there are serious anomalies and weaknesses in the report presented to the Council by the High Commissioner.
The fundamental deficiency is its intolerably intrusive character, impinging as it does on core functions and responsibilities of organs of the Sri Lankan state, overwhelmingly mandated by the people of our country at three successive elections.
He says he deeply regrets the numerous unsubstantiated allegations that have found their way into the report. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
As Russia continues to wage war on neighboring Ukraine, a former commander of the International Space Station is in disbelief over Russian threats to destroy the decades-long partnership aboard the ISS. Plus, Elon Musk sends a communications lifeline to Ukrainians, and a joint mission to Mars is now in doubt. VOA's Arash Arabisadi brings us timely news from space.
We begin in Ukraine, and aerial images are playing a key role. The Ukrainian Defense Ministry and the Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces of Ukraine released these unverified videos claiming to show drone strikes destroying Russian military convoys, launchers, and missile systems. Meanwhile, space technology company Maxar released these images showing parts of the 64-kilometer Russian convoy that stalled in its push to the Ukrainian capital, Kyiv. Recent Russian missile strikes destroyed civilian infrastructure, including a TV tower, killing at least five people. A plea to help Ukrainians stay connected, made by the country's vice prime minister, led billionaire SpaceX founder Elon Musk to act.
And liftoff of Falcon 9, Starlink 4-11.
Starlink is the global broadband subsidiary of SpaceX. It uses thousands of satellites to deliver high-speed internet to underserved parts of the world. If you have a terminal like the ones recently delivered to Ukraine, you can get online.
As the Russians clamp down, as they restrict access, you know, reporting is going to become a lot more scarce. People can still send out their videos of whatever atrocities these forces are committing or whatever. That's going to be really important. Putin's forces are not going to be able to hide from the world because of this access to internet.
And while just last week the prospect of terminating the decades-long partnership aboard the International Space Station seemed impossible, a lot has since changed. The head of Russia's space program sent a series of tweets in which he said the ISS would crash to Earth if Russia decided to leave. Elon Musk replied to the tweet with a SpaceX logo and said his company would step in if Russia backed out.
They may be threatening to pull out. I think the bigger question is, do we allow them to stay? A big part of me hopes that we do. I spent years and years and years of my life trying to work on this partnership, but Mr. Putin really seems to have lost his mind, and I don't know where that's going to end. It might end up in a dangerous place, and so we'll see. This is a place I never thought we'd be at.
Russia's invasion of Ukraine could also derail a joint mission to Mars that Russia and the European Space Agency had planned for later this year. A project delayed since 2020 due to the pandemic now seems even less likely because of sanctions on Moscow, according to the ESA, which will have to wait longer to attempt to land its first rover on Mars. Arash Arabisadi, VOA News.
That's our program for today. Thanks for joining us on VOA Asia. News and developments are changing very quickly. Continue to stay on top of them by following us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. And of course, we invite you to come back at the same time tomorrow for another edition of VOA Asia. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our team, Service Chief Diane Gao, Keith Lane, Chris Cascajo, and Jessica Stone. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead. Be safe. Be well.